case today, which is U.S. versus Roback. Mr. Rowling.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
Mr. Hestead. This case is, concerns Yanis Roback's invocation of his right to counsel, and then the issue about whether he reinitiated contact with the police sufficient to get around that invocation and allow the police to continue questioning him. The government would have you gloss over the totality of the circumstances in this matter and look at a simple statement by Mr. Roback, which was essentially, what's this about, or can we talk about this, when in fact it was prefaced by quite a bit of other information that's relevant to the court's inquiry about whether this actually is a reinitiation. There's the Polish greeting by the officer who was brought specifically for the purposes of translating in the investigation. She admits on the record that's why she's there.
Is there any affirmative evidence that she intended to lure Mr. Roback into speaking when she greeted him in Polish and told him that the reason for his arrest was stolen cars? Because it's a very brief exchange, and kind of on its face, it's innocuous.
Judge, obviously the fact of a greeting itself can be rather innocuous. Now, I would have the court put it in a couple of contexts. One, of course, this is a police investigation aimed at Mr. Roback, who is a suspect in a criminal activity. Police investigations often don't start with pleasant greetings, and they often don't even contain pleasant greetings between individuals. And the other affirmative evidence in the case is simply the fact that Officer Garrison testified that's not why she said it. She said it to let him know that she is the translator, and that prior to this, and the court, the district court, Judge Gettleman himself said that he had some problem and some concern about Agent McCorkle's idea and estimation about whether Mr. Roback could speak Polish, and then Agent Swentes, who was the FBI agent who later conducted the interviews, estimation about whether the individual could speak Polish. Therefore, Garrison was brought in specifically for that purpose and specifically made that greeting to him. As she said on the record, I did that to let him know that I'm there as the translator for the investigation.
What's suspicious about that?
Well, I think it's not just a question of being suspicious. It's a much broader inquiry than just simply suspiciousness. You have an individual who's handcuffed, being brought over for interrogation, who's already invoked. You have an agent, Garrison, who is letting him know in a functionally equivalent fashion that she's there to talk to him in Polish. You have a situation where she then immediately misleads him about the investigation. That is, she says it's about stolen cars, when in fact the main part of the investigation, and of course the indictment in that case, this case, was about ecstasy, a much more serious charge for from his perspective than a stolen car.
But suspected auto theft was in fact the reason for Mr. Roback's arrest, wasn't it?
Agent Swente testified that he arrested Mr. Roback at the station, that is back at the local station, because of the ecstasy investigation.
But he was originally was at the station. It was for traffic with regard to stolen vehicles.
With regard to stolen vehicles, but it quickly devolved into an investigation regarding the ecstasy. And Agent Swente also testified that he knew by looking at the individual that this was the Roback that they were interested in investigating, and had been completing the complaint, the criminal complaint, for the purposes of the ecstasy charge, federal ecstasy charge, that same day. And they, of course, had seen images of Roback and were aware of what he looked like. So I, although the stolen car investigation opens the door, so to speak, it quickly moved into the ecstasy. So her statement is a misleading statement in that context, calculated to get him to feel comfortable with the situation and began to discuss it.
Her statement that in Polish, good day or hello, did all of those things?
No, Judge, it was more than that. It was also
What happened next just goes to the voluntariness of the subsequent Miranda waiver. So we focus on the totality of the circumstances of the reinitiated communication by the defendant and whether the comment from the officer, good day, was designed to elicit incriminating statements. And it seems to me that you're going to have to show an awful lot more before good day in Polish amounts to a comment designed to elicit incriminating statements in violation of Miranda.
I would bring you back, Your Honor, to the broader context once again. You have a situation where the issue under Smith versus Illinois, for instance, doesn't have to be specifically intended by the officer to...
No, it's an objective test.
To bring that back, correct.
I'm not talking about a subjective test.
Correct. So the issue isn't just simply the greeting. It's the entire context of the greeting and what the greeting is intended to calculate and what it's calculated to get to, which is get him specifically to speak. That's what the greeting is intended. She says that on the record. She specifically says that's what the greeting is for, to let her know.
I thought she testified that it was intended, and this is, again, subjective, so there's a question about whether this matters, but it was intended to let him know that she could speak Polish and that she would translate.
That she would translate. And, of course, translation only involves speaking and only involves something that is post him invoking. So, therefore, unlike the other cases where you have issues about showing them evidence or talking to them about the charges, this is one that's specifically calculated to get a response and not one that's simply just information in general. I would bring the court back. I believe I have a little more time to just a couple of other issues, but I believe that we've covered most of them just in the questions. Officer Garrison also admitted that she was aware of the ecstasy investigation, and also in the context of the fact that she used her Polish speaking ability relatively immediately upon seeing Mr. Roback, goes to another important issue in the case. Basically, it was a signal, and it was more than just innocuous because of that. And had it not been for that signal, Mr. Roback doesn't have any opportunity to try to discuss anything with the agents at that point, and the invocation stays. Judge, unless there's any questions.
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Isted.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Cliff Heisted, and I represent the United States government in this case. You've just heard opposing counsel talk at length about how this statement by Officer Garrison was calculated, was designed to deceive Mr. Roback. I would respectfully submit that there is absolutely no evidence of that in the record below.
Well, how do you respond to his point that it was misleading for Officer Garrison to tell him that his detention was an issue of stolen cars when, in fact, it was about more than that? I mean, he was being investigated for a lot more than stolen cars.
He was indeed being investigated for stolen cars and for ecstasy. He was, as Your Honors have correctly ascertained in the previous presentation, arrested for stolen cars. This was a stolen car investigation that evolved once they learned who the identity of Mr. Roback, that evolved into a sort of a follow-on drug investigation. There were two separate and distinct interviews done here. One indeed focused exclusively on stolen cars. An interview report was generated pursuant to the results of that investigation by the FBI, and then after that was concluded, and only after that was concluded, did they move on to the DEA portion, which concerned the ecstasy, and a separate report of interview was done in that investigation by a separate agency. It was an absolutely accurate statement on Officer Garrison's part where she said this concerned stolen cars. She knew full well that that's why he had been arrested and brought down, and she didn't try to speak to him about the drug investigation in any way until she said to him, and she made it very clear, until we can go through a procedure. She was telling him that we are not going to talk about the other reasons you're here until after there's been a knowing and voluntary Miranda waiver, which, of course, there was. And I respectfully submit that the greeting, the Polish greeting, good afternoon, does not, as Your Honors know, rise to the level of interrogation. Neither a subjective nor a reasonable objective observer would take that to be an invitation to incriminate oneself. It was the defendant who said, can we talk about it?
And that came right on the heels of the Polish good day?
Correct, Your Honor. She said, good afternoon, and he said, good afternoon, you speak Polish. can you tell me why I'm here? And then she said it concerns stolen cars, and he said, can we talk about it? And she said, we can indeed talk about it, but after we do a procedure. There were no further communications until they went upstairs, and then the record is very clear that he was given his Miranda rights in English and in Polish, line by line, initialing each line, initialing, acknowledging each right, and then at the end, clearly waiving that right and speaking for 90 minutes or so before he decided that he was done talking and the interview was terminated. This defendant clearly, under established precedent, under Oregon versus Bradshaw, the Supreme Court case, he clearly initiated conversation. More to the point, after Judge Gettleman heard the testimony of Officer Garrison, he specifically found her to be credible. He specifically applied Oregon versus Bradshaw, naming the case by name, applying it to the testimony that he heard, and found that there had been a defendant's reinitiation and a subsequent valid Miranda waiver, which is, of course, the very issue that we're faced with here. But before moving briefly on to the 404B issue that was raised, are there any questions from Your Honors about that? Then I would just very briefly address the allegation or the point raised in the appellant's brief that the admission of the prior cigarette smuggling was a violation of 404B and that the judge erred in admitting that evidence. Clearly, we can see from the evidence that the evidence was admitted for proper purposes. It was specifically offered to prove the defendant's knowledge. It was specifically offered to prove intent. It was specifically offered to show opportunity. That's the way the judge accepted the evidence. He admitted it with a curative instruction. And in light of all the other testimony that was presented at trial, namely five eyewitnesses.
Sorry, go ahead.
Five eyewitnesses who each testified one after the other that they had engaged in hand-to-hand drug transactions with the defendant. If there was any error in admitting this 404B evidence, which there clearly was not, such error was harmless. And therefore, we would ask that your honors affirm the conviction, find that the statement was did not need to be suppressed, and that the admission of the 404B evidence was entirely appropriate. Any questions? We'll rest on our brief. Thank you.
You have 3 minutes rebuttal.
I waive my rebuttal.
Thanks to both counsel. We'll move to the